Good morning. Our lesson this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be exploring practices that can build and nurture community among Christian groups. And a foundation for this comes from a book called Living in the Community by the Reverend Dr. Christine Pohl. I'm going to start with gratitude. And gratitude itself begins with paying attention, with noticing the goodness, the beauty, and the grace that is around us, orienting our lives to saying thank you to others, towards praise about what we see and receive, about testimony about the goodness around us, and about giving thanks to people and to God. Communities flourish when we regularly tell stories of God's faithfulness and goodness, and when we find opportunities to express gratitude rather than feeding cycles of complaint. One of the first things that David did after consolidating the victories against the Philistines was to arrange for regular worship and helping to identify those who would be leading it for the nation, because he knew that gathering in praise was a way to nurture and build and strengthen the community that was this new kingdom of Israel. Gratitude can express itself also then in generosity, which brings more gratitude back and again enriches a community. In our New Testament reading, Paul was expressing thanks to the churches of the Mediterranean area for collection that they had been taking up for the church in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, things weren't that great for the Christian community. They'd been kicked out of the temple by the Jewish authorities. Roman authorities were cracking down on all religious expressions that did not give nod to Caesar as a god and to Rome as the supreme authority. So Paul began talking to the churches that both he had founded and those he had visited, encouraging them to take up a collection and send it to Jerusalem. And these people, probably who had never been to Jerusalem, responded and sent an offering to help support the church in Jerusalem. And as Paul expressed in our reading today, it helped create that sense of Christian community across the Mediterranean world of that time. Despite emphasis on gratitude in so many of the biblical texts, Christian traditions and even other traditions today find it can be countercultural to be grateful recipients and to express it. And Reverend Pohl identifies 4 challenges that impact our ability to express gratitude these days. She talks about entitlement. And that's a term that's been tossed around a lot in a lot of different ways. But what she says, emphasizes, is that what we know of entitlement in our Western consumer culture is somewhat exaggerated, because for the most part, all of us live, unlike in most of human history before us, we live in relative security, and that's also compared to other parts, relative security compared to other parts of the world. And we have come to see ourselves as somehow entitled to that security. We want more, we want better, better bodies, newer cars, more hair, whiter teeth, bigger churches, more beautiful homes, finer coffee with more and more added to it. And somehow wanting these things morphs into the sense that somehow we really do deserve them. And if we don't get them, it feeds a cycle of generalized dissatisfaction, envy, striving, and more buying, and makes it harder for us to express gratitude for the blessings that we do receive. She also says that it's been a common American tradition and myth, and in some ways is valid, but she critiques the idea that everyone who has succeeded has done so without the help of the government or of other people. She says there really isn't anything as a self-made successful person. We are most fully human, she says, when we are self-sufficient. We imagine it, and gratitude becomes an ungrateful reminder that we need other people, and our lives are dependent on their gifts and their generosity, and also on the gifts and generosity of God as much as they are on our own efforts. Based on, in part, our economic practices, you know, much of the work we do in our world is governed by contract and contractual agreements. And her third point is that we get used to the idea that when another party does what they've agreed to do, we are rarely filled with gratitude. We just said, well, that's the way it should be. They said they'd do it. But we definitely have good reason to be grateful when things work as they should. But we'll just kind of take that for granted. And if we express emotion, it's anger when things don't work out as well as we planned or arranged. And even in interactions when we don't have a literal contract, we're often swept away by contractual thinking, saying, okay, it's a tit-for-tat world, and that's just the way it should be, and I'll accept it. Her fourth challenge to gratitude is we get too busy to say thanks. To quote Reverend Pohl, gratitude and wonder are squeezed out of our lives when our lives are packed full with busyness and responsibilities. There is simply no room, no time to notice. We experience God's gifts when we pause long enough to notice them, suggesting important but often overlooked connections are there between our worship and our gratitude. And our busyness is often tied to working very hard so that what we have or receive does not seem to be a gift. And schedules have no space to accommodate things going wrong, and we're unable to receive any gift that might come in the form of an interruption. We need to cultivate the practice of gratitude in our lives and, you know, be people who see it and acknowledge it before God. Think of how many of the Psalms alone start or end with expressions of gratitude to God. We need to practice gratitude going against the grain of entitlement in our consumer culture and embody new gifts for people who think life is just like a tit-for-tat contract, A new way of life that is rooted in an appreciation of the abundance of the giver of all good gifts. So here are some suggestions of how we can begin to live more fully into the kind of gratitude the Bible asks us to practice. Start each day with gratitude for the gift of another day. Many of the Psalms start that way, and they were not to be sung or recited not just at worship, but by individuals between the Sabbath times. Religious author William Law has written, "Receive every day as a resurrection from death, as a new enjoyment of life. Meet every rising sun with such sentiments of God's goodness. Let your joyful heart praise and magnify so good and glorious a creator." When I was growing up, it was just kind of, you knew before you could eat, somebody had to say a prayer, and it almost became routine, except when my mother prayed, because she would pray and thanks for anyone even vaguely connected with the occasion. And one holiday when we boys were back for Thanksgiving, and she started thanking God for the mechanics of the planes that enabled us to get home, my father kind of coughed and said, "Dinner's getting cold." But saying thanks should have significance for us. God has provided the food that is before us, both through the bounty of creation and any number of fellow humans who have worked to bring it to our tables. And we should celebrate that with gratitude. Take time to write little notes of thanks or to express our gratitude to persons for care that we are shown, for competence that we receive, for love that is given. Reverend Pohl has said, our communities suffocate when we fail to express how grateful we are for the goodness that we find there. Reverend Leonard Sweet has said, if you're wearing pants of some kind or anything that has two pockets, put 10 pennies in one pocket, and every time you find a reason to thank somebody, switch it to the other pocket. And by the end of the day, do all you can to have moved everything to the second pocket. Gratitude is not just politeness. Gratitude strengthens our spirit. It gives us a resilience that acknowledges that there are more than difficulties. Gratitude is the defiance of kindness in the face of anger, of connection in the face of division, and of hope in the face of anxiety. Gratitude empowers us. It makes joy and love possible. It rearranges the way we see and experience what is beyond us and around us. Gratitude opens us to a Lord who makes all things new. It gives us an ability to act more joyfully with hope. And as a practice, gratitude embodies the wisdom of our greatest spiritual teacher, Jesus, who said, "Keep before you always love of God and love of neighbor." And gratitude helps us express both of those. It takes us away from an abstract belief in living into a living compassion for the world around us. Now, gratefulness isn't always easy. It isn't just hearts and flowers. Gratitude can be tough in tough times, but I've seen it in people who are able to accept challenges or illness and still say, "But this about my life is good," or "This about my life has been good." We allow Christ to help us through. Let me end with words from Christian writer Brother David Steindl-Rast. When you are grateful, you are not fearful. And when you are not fearful, you are not violent. When you are grateful, you act out of a sense of enough and not out of a sense of scarcity. And you are willing to share. If you are grateful, you are enjoying the differences between people and are respectful of all people. The grateful world is a world of joyful people because grateful people are joyful people. And a grateful world is a happy world. Amen.